Welcome to Radio Gorgeous. In the gorgeous kitchen, we have the lovely Lucy Coughlin, who is a foodie, a food entrepreneur, and generally a gourmand omnivore. Does that sum it up?
I think it does. I've written a couple of cookbooks, and really the past 30 years I've worked as a chef. I've had a food company where we produce different food for different people, and I've done catering really since I was almost a teenager, so I've probably lived and breathed food for an awful long time.
And why is it such a passion for you?
I think I look at it and I'm really convinced it's actually from my mum. So when I was little and my friends were eating fish fingers, we were eating really fabulous sort of French recipes. She subscribed to the very first magazine subscription from the Cordon Bleu school. And so this glossy magazine would come every month with a picture of some exotic tall pudding on the front. And we would eat our way through that magazine for the next month. So when my friends were eating sort of fish fingers and chips, we were eating her latest lasagna, which was made with minced veal, chicken livers, and an assortment of exotic ingredients.
And what inspired her? What drew her to that?
That I don't know, but I just remember mealtimes in my family when I was little. It was always fun, it was always interesting, and it was a big time of day for us. So it was really infectious. And I'm one of four, and we're all foodies. And, you know, when we get together as a family, and even our sort of extended families, half the time when we're planning the party is discussing who's going to make what and what we're going to eat, because actually that's really the focus, which is why none of us are really slim, actually, probably.
But it also sounds like from an early age, and I am leading somewhere with this, it sounds like from an early age, cooking from recipes was a part of the repertoire and new recipes.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of recipes. I think, if I'm not actually cooking, I'm probably thinking about it. And if I'm not shopping or thinking about it, I'm probably dreaming about it because I'm actually asleep if I'm not eating it itself. So I can skim a recipe and read it and know whether it will work or not. But that's only because I've cooked for a long time and I trained and I know how things work. But I think if you don't know how things work, a recipe is really important because it gives you the building blocks with which you're going to get the end result. And as you get more experienced, you can cheat on those, can't you? You can put other things in. But actually, if you're a complete novice, the recipe is utterly important. So I started about 20 years ago writing recipes for Ski World, who are one of the biggest independent ski chalet operators. And the recipes had to work for everybody every time, in every chalet, and some of them were really basic, and the kitchens were on show. So these souls come along, and they are cooks, but they're not necessarily experienced, but they are on show. And this recipe has to work every time they cook it, because people have paid to come on holiday. So I was very conscious that we had to create a way of writing a foolproof recipe. And that's really, I think, what drives me is creating a recipe that anybody can have success with.
Excellent. And then you get a collection of recipes, which is a cookbook. And you have founded the very first cookbook festival.
Ah, yes. So that's with a friend, Jo Pratt, who also is a cookbook author. She's very much more prolific than me and is now on her eighth book, and a great girl. And she said, we were talking one day, because actually there isn't really any money in books full stop, let alone cookbooks, and people don't buy them so much anymore. And I Google recipes myself. But what I find is that you just don't get the same distraction and absorption from Googling a recipe that you do when you flip through a cookbook. So I have some favourite cookbooks. And you know what? Even now, I might go to a page that's, say, three pages in front of the favourite recipe that I'm going for, and I go, oh, I haven't seen that, or I haven't cooked that. And I get distracted and I read it and I think, OK, I'll do that. And you get to know an author, don't you? You get to know the way they cook. You get to know the sort of style and their sort of repertoire of ingredients, if you like. They all have a palette. We all have a palette. We all have a palette of our favourite things. Or that changes, obviously, and it evolves. But you get you build a relationship with that sort of cookbook author, and you can pick up their book and cook almost anything from it when you sort of know the way they work. And also they take you on that journey, and you learn about other things and you try different things. And I think the difference between a cookbook and Googling recipes is a bit like the difference between doing a supermarket shop online or going yourself. So when you go yourself or whatever shop it is you're going to, you get seduced, don't you, by the thing that's next to the thing you're going to buy, and you think, oh, actually that looks delicious, or that looks fresh, or oh, I didn't know that was in season, or whatever it is, and you think, I'll definitely have some of that. And then you go and create something around it. Online, you just don't get the same seduction. And I just think it's a bit like that when you Google a recipe. You have to know what you're going for first. You Google the recipe, you choose your recipe, and you cook it. And there's a certain sterility about that, isn't there? There's not the joy and the love. So I got distracted, actually, because Joe and I were just discussing the fact there's not a lot of money in cookbooks. And what we said, let's try and do something to bring them back alive and get people interested in them in themselves rather than necessarily just the recipes per se.
And that follows on from what you were saying, that a cookbook, you know, you need to trust the author. And so when you are, if you usually cook the same things from the cookbook, three pages forward, then you're like, oh, I can trust this person. I know this person. I know, you know, how when they say this, I do actually need to do that, and I can trust this recipe, and I can try something new. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think what you do is... And it might be that they're not separate, and I'm certainly not saying that Googling recipes and recipes online are a bad thing, because I don't think that at all. But I think what's nice is that if you can go to somebody and you can also see what else they do, and then actually having the book, there's something that brings it alive and you get the introduction. Online, you Google the recipes, there's never an introduction. You never know where they came from, and you never know what that person's inspiration was, or they were travelling in Italy, or they grew up in Zimbabwe, or wherever it was that actually sort of inspired them to write the things or cook the way they do. You don't get that, because you don't get the introduction with it online. So I think a cookbook, you do build up a rapport, and then you will buy more of that person's cookbooks, or you will use more of their recipes, because you find the what you find somebody that suits the way you cook and eat.
Okay, yeah. So at this cookbook festival, you're presenting numerous cooks for us to fall in love with.
We are, and we're absolutely thrilled. Just to say, absolutely, first off, when Joe and I were talking about it at the beginning, it was really important to us that this is for charity. So actually, there's nobody making any money out of this apart from good causes, and we want to keep it that way, and hopefully the festival will grow and grow, and that we will have more and more money to donate to very worthy charities. So, you know, hopefully people will not only support us because of the great chefs, but also because it is all for a good cause. And we've been bowled over literally from the first day when we started asking chefs and cooks and cookery book authors to come along, how many people said yes and really embraced the idea of having a festival. There's lots of food festivals, there's lots of book festivals, but there isn't a book festival that's just dedicated to food and drink. So this year we're really dipping our toe in the water, but we've got some fabulous names and hopefully some really exciting events.
Excellent. So who are some of the chefs that are coming on?
So we've got speakers and people demonstrating. So we've got John Terode, who's going to tell us not only about his new book, Sydney to Seoul, which is really actually an exciting book. I have a copy of it and I've been cooking from it. And it's really bringing... to your own kitchen in the simplest format some of the recipes that have inspired him over the years and his journey. But he's also going to tell us about his new project, which he's cycling around Britain and tasting and cooking food along the way. And I have to say, I have to take my hat off to him, because I've followed him a little bit on social media and he has been rained on an awful lot and he's been up and down the hills and probably deserves every meal he's tried, I think. So that's exciting. And just before that, we're having the fabulous festival drinks. And that's when you get to try some of the recipes from John Terode's book and also his wine. You see, I didn't even know he produced wine, but we've got some fabulous, very high quality John Terode wines to try. We've also got Ella Mills. So Deliciously Ella is coming to tell us about her journey. And again, she's sort of undergone a bit of a transformation just recently, in that she became very well known, very young, and then founded the sort of Deliciously Ella empire, if we want to call it that, and has been very much a leader in sort of healthy eating and certainly plant-based eating. And recently she's taking some time out to train as a yoga teacher. So she's going to tell us a bit about how it's changed her view of things, and you get to taste some of her food along the way. So John Turode, Deliciously Ella, the lovely Melissa Hemsley of the sisters. So they've both written a book independently, but she's coming along to tell us about her quick healthy fixes, and there's some fabulous food she'll be demonstrating, so that's really interesting to see. But you get to taste. So every single event, every single demonstration, there's an element of eating and drinking. So we appreciate you don't just want to see the food, you want to taste it too.
Excellent. And I understand there's also some workshops.
There are workshops, and on the Sunday, so what we wanted to start this year, and obviously we'll expand next year, is workshops that are really achievable financially to everybody. So it's Fiverr a workshop. They're all an hour long, and you can come and try your hand at sushi. You can make your first gyoza. You can learn the art of the fast fix canapé. And we've got the lovely Hattie Coughlin. She's coming along, and she's the queen of making giant versions of things. And she's going to teach everybody to make a giant bourbon biscuit, and you can take it home. What's interesting about that workshop is it's not so much about the recipes themselves. It's actually using household items to make giant versions, because obviously we don't all have giant molds or giant things to mark things with or whatever. So it's about using pieces of cardboard and tins that you've got and things like that to make a giant version of something that you love.
And it sounds like some of the workshops are also family friendly.
Yes, so the sushi, the gyoza, the biscuits, you can come, the children can come, and as long as you, as an adult, accompanies them, then that's open to all. And we're hoping to expand that side of it next year, so that there's really hands-on things for children to learn and to also cook as a family. And I think that's partly why I love food so much, because the kitchen was always open to us all, and we all had to have a go, and mess was not important. You know, we could make as much mess, but we all made pastry. My brothers learned to cook when they were little, and you know, it's just the way it should be, really. I think so many people are frightened of messing their kitchen up that actually they just don't let the fun happen.
Excellent. Well, incredibly exciting. All information for the Cookbook Festival is at www.cookbookfestival.org. Takes place September 12th through 16th. Some of the other events as a combination of Jack Monroe and City Harvest.
I'm really, really excited about this. This is the brunch ticket for London on the 16th of September. So if you like brunch or you fancy a brunch on that day, this is the brunch ticket. So City Harvest, fantastic West London organisation who redistributes fresh food close to its sell-by date from the suppliers, the producers, the shops, and redistributes it to people in need and to organisations who take that food to those who need it. They're supplying all the ingredients. So we're using Jack's recipes, we're using City Harvest food, and we've got a fantastic brunch with really exciting food coming up, from homemade granola through to shakshuka to some lovely pastries, all made from Jack's book, which is Cooking on a Bootstrap. She'll be there, so she's helping us in the kitchen, and then she will be chatting with Paula from City Harvest while we're all enjoying our brunch, just generally about food and the future of food, really.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Again, all the information, September 12th through 16th, all the information is at cookbookfestival.org. And thank you so much, Lucy.
It's a pleasure. I hope I'll be back.
For more fascinating women, go to www.radiogorgeous.com.